There's no friend like the Lord Jesus. And you know, if we could only be a friend to one another, to others, the way He is a friend to us, it'd be a wonderful thing. I heard somebody say once something I've never forgotten. And possibly it was said to a Christian. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Could we read in John chapter 13, please? The Gospel of John chapter 13. Now, in case it seems that I don't appreciate what the assembly in Jackson has done for us this weekend, no, we appreciate it very much. All the work behind the scenes, we are grateful to the assembly here for all that has come down. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Now, all we're going to read here are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 13 and 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 15. In verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And then finally in chapter 16 and verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me. Again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now what we've been reading here are some of the last words that the Lord Jesus said and taught to his own before he went to the cross. My father died at the age of 50 from cancer. And I remember things that he said to me. We didn't know what he knew. He knew that he was going to die, and we didn't. I remember some of his last words. I remember some of the last words of my mother, who died about 4 years ago. Last words. All the words of the Lord Jesus are important, of course. But it's interesting what he said to his own just before he left them. And what they needed to hear, what they needed to understand, we do too, so many years later. You know, we looked at four chapters, and I just want to look, you know, we're just taking bits and pieces here, but three words from each chapter. Chapter 13, love one another. Chapter 14, keep my commandments. Chapter 15, abide in me. And chapter 16, a little while. In chapter 13, these words, love one another. I wonder if there's a Christian on the face of the earth that doesn't know these words. Doesn't know that God wants us, that the Lord Jesus wants us to love one another. That it's part and parcel of being a Christian. But notice what the Lord says. He says, love one another. And here's what challenges me. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. You know, some of us say one thing, but we don't practice it. The Lord Jesus wasn't like that. And so often, what he said he perfectly modeled in his life. Now, for example, at the end of chapter 13, he says, love one another as I have loved you. But previous in the chapter, he shows a little bit of what he's talking about. This is what I mean. Look with me in chapter 13. We're going to read a bit here. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Verse 4. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, or bathed, it's a different word there, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, notice, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Love one another as I have loved you. What does the Lord say here? Do as I have done to you. What had the Lord done to them? He washed their feet. Now, I don't think most here will have a problem with this. But the Lord isn't talking about literal feet washing. It's clear from the context. At one point, he said to Peter, he said, what I'm doing now, you don't know. You don't know what I'm doing now. And later he said to all of them, he says, do you know what I've done to you? Now these may have been simple men in one sense, fishermen and so on, but they weren't imbeciles. They knew the Lord had washed their feet. So there's a spiritual significance that they didn't understand. What is this spiritual significance? You know, my understanding is people in these days didn't have indoor plumbing like we would. And maybe they had to go to a public bath to be bathed, to be cleansed. They would do that, but on the way home, with the dusty streets, with open sandals, their feet would get dirty. So when they got home, they would need to wash their feet again. This is a little picture of what happens when somebody gets saved. That's like going to the public baths, if you will, bathed all over, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're clean. But just as people in these days would, on their way home, and we're on our way home, on their way home, their feet would get defiled. We live in a world, brother, sister, and we get defiled. As Shakespeare said, the world is too much with us. But the question is this. What is my attitude to my brother and my sister? Who's been defiled by the world? And is there any among us today that can say, well, the world doesn't have any impact on me? You know, I think one of the biggest challenges we face in assembly fellowship today is getting along with one another. I appreciated what my brother said about friends. Challenge. Getting along with one another. What about somebody that gets saved and maybe they're in their 30s and they've been smoking since they've been 15. They get saved and they just have a difficult time putting away those cigarettes. What's our attitude toward a person like that? Or how about a young person now? They're in assembly fellowship. And you get in their car, maybe they let you use their car just to do something, and you turn it on and the music just about blasts you right out of the seat. What's our attitude toward that young believer that listens to music that you wonder if it's music? Or how about the man that working hard trying to support his family? Works long hours, long hours, long hours. Weekends, misses a lot of meetings. Some people say he's a workaholic. What's our attitude? And this is just some of the effects that the world has upon us. And brother, sister, I don't believe there's any of us here today that are immune from this. So how do we deal with one another's defilement, living in this world? There are at least two possibilities. Now, if you saw somebody with dirty feet, again, to use the context here, you could stand at a distance and say, look at those dirty feet there. And sometimes we do that with one another, might not even verbalize it, but, you know, that music. Why does she dress like that? Why does he work so much? Or, you know, sometimes you just don't think it, but we start, and here's where it really gets bad, start talking to one another, gossiping. Love one another as I have loved you. But there's another thing we could do. I suppose if you had a sword at home back in these days, you saw some dirty feet, you could go and cut them off. That would solve the problem, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, there have been believers that have had the sword taken to them. I had that unfortunate experience once. Trusting I was speaking on this passage. I won't go into those details, but well-meaning people that think they see the whole picture and they can just come and they see some defilement in you and just go down one side and up the other and until you're a pile of grease. Notice the Lord says, love one another as I have loved you. Brother, sister, has the Lord been gracious with you, with all your failure and shortcoming? Has he been gracious with me? What a friend. Love one another, he says, as I have loved you. Isn't it amazing? To me, it just shows the depravity of our nature, that we can enjoy the Lord's grace toward us and then treat one another so poorly sometimes. You know, the Lord Jesus used a basin of water and a towel to wash the disciples' feet. He had to get low and he had to get close. And this is a challenge to me in our independent society. And maybe the way things are going, this will change a bit. But to get low and to get close to people is what's needed. Now, to me, helping one another, you say, what are you talking about? All I'm talking about this, you know, I can stand back and criticize my brother or sister because of something I see, or I can be like the Lord Jesus. I can try to help them with a defilement. And I want to tell you, I thank God for people in my life who they could have cut me down, especially when I was first saved. But they came alongside. They used the water of the Word. They came along. Show me the Scriptures. In humility. As a friend. They tried to help me. And they did. For I have given you an example, he says, that you should do as I have done to you. And he says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. In chapter 14, we see sort of the flip side of this in one sense. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I wasn't able to be here yesterday morning, and I hear our brother Andrew spoke on this, so I'm not going to say a lot on it. If in chapter 13 we get our attitude toward one another, helping one another with our failures and shortcomings, with the defilement of the world, in chapter 14 we see our attitude toward the Lord Jesus. He says, if you love me, if you love me. Keep my commandments. What I see from this is that my love for the Lord Jesus isn't just what I say, but it's my obedience to His Word. You know, it's very, very simple. Challenging, yes, but simple. So the question I ask myself, are there parts of God's Word that I won't bow to? And maybe we should back up a little bit. Do I read the Word? Do I read His Word day by day to find out what He wants me to do? The Lord says, if you love me, if. He asks this to Peter at the end of this gospel. Do you love me? You know, love isn't just an emotion. Isn't just an emotion. Brother, sister, do you love the Lord Jesus? You know, when my wife and I were first married, a few years ago now, I remember different times when she would ask me, I don't think she ever said, do you like liver? Or, do you like meatloaf? But different, she would ask me, do I like this food or do I like that food? Why was she doing that? She wanted to find out what pleased me. And I suppose if I said I didn't like it, she wouldn't make it. Do we want to know what pleases the Lord? Young brother, young sister, do you want to please the Lord? He says, if you love me, here's how you can show it. Keep my commandments. Now, somebody might say, I love the Lord Jesus, but, you know, I just fall so short. Keep His commandments, it's so difficult. I know. Somebody might say, I know I should love my brethren, but, you know, some people are just so hard to love. So how can we love one another as He's loved us? How can we show our love to Him by keeping His commandments? I believe we get the answer in chapter 15. The Lord says, abide in me. Brother, sister, I am so glad, and I was saying this the other day, that God didn't save us and then just send us out on our own and the rest is up to us. The rest isn't up to us. We're as dependent upon Him for Christian living as we were for salvation. How slow we are to recognize that. In chapter 15 and verse 5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Do we believe that? Without me, you can do nothing? What's the Lord mean? Abide in me? I've puzzled over that for years. Asked different people, and They said words, but abide in me. What's it mean? I get a little help from the analogy the Lord uses there. He says, as a branch can't bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Everybody who is saved, we're in Christ positionally. Once we were in our sins, now we're in Christ. That's a position that doesn't change. But does the Lord not want us to live in the good of our position? Abiding in Him. Enjoying the position that we have in Christ. And is it not letting Him live His life out in me? Now, the picture the Lord uses of the branch. He says, the branch can't bear fruit of itself except to abide in the vine. I don't know much about, I was going to say arborism, but I don't think that's right. About trees. Imagine now, okay, I'm going to use a tree instead of a vine. I hope the picture won't be too wrong. But you got a trunk of a tree, you got a branch, and hopefully have some fruit at the end of that branch. What makes the difference? It's the sap going up the trunk, out the branch, that produces the fruit. Now just suppose something, some fungus or whatever there could be, that would get into that branch, would stop the flow of the sap. What would happen? No fruit, exactly. So, is the Lord saying thus, make sure there's nothing in your life that stops that life flow. Unconfessed sin, for example. You know, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. The Lord doesn't expect you and me to be perfect, but He expects us to be honest. And when we fail, when we sin, He wants us just to tell Him about it. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a parental forgiveness. This isn't talking about the punishment for sins in the lake of fire. But when you and I, as sons and daughters in the family of God, when we sin, we can confess it to Him. This is how you and I can walk with God in this world. You know, to me, the Apostle Paul maybe catches the thought here when he says in Galatians 2, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ living His life out in me, resting in Him, trusting in Him to be everything we need. Abide in me, and I in you. In chapter 16, read these words a little while. The Lord says, a little while, and you shall see me. Now, I realize the context here. I look at it as resurrection. The Lord's telling them, His disciples, that they were going to see Him. He's giving them an encouragement. He knew what was going to happen. They'd be so astounded by His death on the cross. He's saying, a little while, and you shall see me. But I want to apply it in this way. Brother, sister, a little while, and we're going to see this one. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. He is coming. He is coming. And it could be today. Have you ever thought of what it's going to mean? What it's going to be like to see Him for the first time? This one whom, having not seen, we love. You know, it's almost beyond my comprehension. There's different people that we read about in the Scriptures. When they caught a glimpse of the Lord, a vision, you know, they fell on their face. Is that what will happen with us? I don't know. And I've wondered sometimes too, what will he say? The first words, what will he say? When I was younger, I did a bit of running, but I've never run in a marathon. I've never been in the Boston Marathon. I have heard, though, at some point in that 26 plus miles of the Boston Marathon, there's a stretch called Heartbreak Hill. Now, it seemed to me, if you're in a marathon, and you got a long incline at mile 3, and you get a side ache, and you're thinking, what have I got, 23 miles to go? Mm-mm. You know, you got so far to go, you just give up. However, if there's maybe an incline, and you get a side ache, and you have 200 yards to go, you can just about do anything for 200 yards. Listen, brother, sister, a little while, a little while, and you shall see me. There's a songwriter many years ago, there's a line of a song, maybe you've heard it. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Won't it be worth it all? A little while. A little while and the struggle will be over. The struggle against the world, the flesh, the devil, done. A little while to serve Him. We've been hearing about service. God has something for each of us to do. Only a little while to serve Him, the one to whom we owe everything. A little while, He says, and you shall see me. The Lord's last words, among His last words to His own, before He left them, He knew their need. He says, love one another as I have loved you. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He knew they would feel their powerlessness just like you and I do. He says, abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. But then to encourage their hearts, He says, a little while.